to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, March 30th, 2020. The U.S. government donates money to help South Sudan prevent the spread of the coronavirus.
The State Department and USAID are providing an initial investment of nearly $274 million in emergency health and humanitarian assistance to help countries in need.
An activist in Juba say main markets in the capital are still congested.
Along this narrow passage leading in and out of the market, there is too much congestion. This is the life here. People are used to condition like this, and you cannot stop anyone.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The U.S. government has donated $8 million to support the fight against the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic in South Sudan. The U.S. embassy in Juba has also reduced its staff to half as precautionary measures. Dimoa Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
U.S. Embassy in Juba spokesman Jonathan Sebra says the U.S. is leading the world's humanitarian and health assistance response to the COVID-19 pandemic.
The State Department and USAID are providing an initial investment of nearly $274 million in emergency health and humanitarian assistance to help countries in need, on top of the funding we already provide to multilateral organizations such as the World Health Organization and UNICEF. This includes humanitarian funding for South Sudan of $8 million.
Sibra says the U.S. Embassy in South Sudan is also cutting in half the number of its staff in Juba and avoiding international flights.
The U.S. Embassy in Juba has reduced its staffing and is assessing the feasibility of certain programming at this time, but we retain sufficient staff to perform our core tasks of bilateral engagement, development and humanitarian assistance, and support for U.S. citizens in South Sudan.
On Saturday, Americans and other foreign nationals were given the opportunity to leave South Sudan after the U.S. Embassy requested that the government's COVID-19 task force allow an exception of its ban on all outgoing and incoming flights so that a jet could land in Juba to evacuate foreign nationals.
The flight on Saturday was commercially operated by Ethiopian Airlines, and the majority of passengers were not American citizens.
Sibra says the United States Department of State issued a worldwide health advisory on March 19th advising all U.S. citizens to avoid international travel due to the global impact of COVID-19. There are no confirmed cases of coronavirus in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Civil society activists in Juba say overcrowded markets and bus stations pose high risk during the global COVID-19 pandemic. The government of South Sudan advised its nationals to avoid crowded places and keep social distance in order to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. A chairperson of a coalition of civil society organizations in South Sudan says majority of vendors and customers in Juba's markets neither wash their hands nor keep social distance. Lasuba Memo reports for VOA from Juba.
At Juba's customs market, one of the capital's busiest markets, vendors continue to sell and package food and other items as consumers move in and out of the market within inches of each other. Located adjacent to the customs bus park just behind the University of Juba, scores of commuters walk close to each other as they file through the one and only passage way in and out of the market. The market is often crowded with consumers from mid-morning to early evening hours. People can be seen rubbing shoulders against each other. No masks are in sight. Speaking in Arabic, vendor Sando Katende says the congestion inside the market is dangerous.
Along this narrow passage leading in and out of the market, there is too much congestion. This is the life here. People are used to condition like this, and you cannot stop anyone.
Katende points out there are no public facilities for people to wash their hands at the market. He says some vendors make an effort to wash their hands after handling fruits, vegetables and other food items, although they do not do it regularly. Vendor Alfred Madara, who sells electronic appliances along a passageway, says he worries about the congestion in the market. Speaking in Arabic, Madara says the government should screen people before entering the market and supply water for people to wash their hands.
If the government can intervene, let there be screening at the entrance. Because here people come from different places and you don't know where they are coming from. This is a mistake. At this place, people hardly wash their hands.
Peter Malirbiar, executive director for the Christian Agency for Peace and Development, says many South Sudanese are negligent about protecting themselves from the coronavirus. He says some may know about the president's directives to avoid crowds and to wash their hands frequently, but many South Sudanese are struggling economically and just trying to survive.
South Sudanese completely do not understand the issues of COVID-19 as we are speaking, because they have other issues that they are struggling to overcome, issues of the tough economy they are facing because of the conflict that has just ended.
Christine Kide, chairperson of a coalition of civil society organizations in South Sudan and a member of the group Community Empowerment for Rehabilitation and Development, says the government should fund hygiene and sanitation programs. She says the coalition is ready to work with the government's COVID-19 task force to implement preventive measures such as supplying clean water and shop in markets and bus stations.
If we get an opportunity to work with the task force, we can just see how best we can supply water and soap within the marketplaces, maybe at the tax parks, and see that before anyone enters a taxi, he or she has to wash her hands. Or maybe in the marketplaces, those with shops, soap at the shops, we ask them to put water at their shops so that when they attend to their customers, they are asked to wash their hands. So all this needs sanitization, because at this moment, when you go to the market, no one is caring about it.
The government's high-level task force on COVID-19, chaired by First Vice President Riek Machar, on Saturday introduced additional directives to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Motorbike, known as border, are now banned, and the number of people who can ride in passenger service vehicles has been restricted. Shops selling non-essential items were ordered to close. Angor Gordon, the incident manager for COVID-19 in South Sudan's health ministry, says the government has ordered the security forces to enforce the directives.
Wherever they are gathering, the law enforcement organ should come in and do the right thing. Some near countries have actually closed down markets. You only go and buy fruits, maybe food, but no clothes, no shoes, no other. They've been closed down. And the reason is they want to minimize, to reduce the chances of diseases spreading across.
The new directives went into effect today. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
The United Nations Children's Fund says the coronavirus pandemic has significantly impacted on children, as hundreds of millions of children across the globe are now out of school and many parents are out of their jobs. The organization warns the situation could lead to an increased rate of child abuse, exploitation, child labor, and gender-based violence. Mavis Ochri reports for VOA from Ghana.
COVID-19 has had a foothold across the globe and is now reaching countries that were already facing humanitarian crises because of conflict, natural disasters, and climate change. Christopher Tidy, emergency communications specialist for UNICEF base in New York, says school closures not only limit access to learning, but to school nutrition, health program, clean water, and accurate information.
By some estimates, you have over a billion students that are out of school right now. And for children, obviously, having access to quality education is essential for their long-term development and well-being in the future. So that's a problem. Also, a lot of kids through schools get access to essential services like lunchtime feeding programs, information about how to stay healthy, different protection services, and so on. So when schools are closed, kids can lose access to those sorts of things as well.
He notes that many countries lack the resources to help children learn while at home, but others are engaging students online to study or through radio and television programming. Tidy says although hand washing with soap and the running water is the most effective way to stop the spread of the disease, only 3 out of 5 people around the world have access to basic hand washing facilities. He says 3 billion people do not have hand washing facilities with water and soap at home. In sub-Saharan Africa, 258 million people lack access to proper hand washing facilities. For example, he says almost 50% of urban South African residents do not have hand washing facilities at home. Tidy says health systems across the globe are overwhelmed with the increase in pandemic cases, which means there is less capacity for children who have other health concerns to get needed services. He notes there are already problems with getting children in African countries getting good quality health care services, and there are questions about whether some countries would be able to respond to COVID-19 outbreaks.
That's why I think the UN is especially worried about the pandemic significantly affecting countries that have weaker healthcare systems, that are lower income as well, so that families and government don't necessarily have the financial means to weather the crisis.
Tidy says UNICEF has launched an appeal for over $600 million from donors to support the global response to COVID-19 all over the world. He says the money will go a long way to support a range of programs for children, including trying to expand access to hand washing and hygiene services. Reporting for VOA, this is Mavis Autry in Drashen, in the Ashanti region of Ghana.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese authorities report new cases of COVID-19 in Khartoum. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
Why do you think more young people are turning away from farming?
You know, for you to farm, to be a farmer, you have to wait. I'm waiting until, you know, these guys, they don't want to wait. They want the money now. They don't want you to maybe you plant your corn or maize or yam and you have to wait till maybe probably like how many months before it germinates and before you can even harvest.
Maybe because they feel or they view farming to be an old occupation or vocation that's mostly for the villagers. But then I feel farming is one that I know you can generate money from.
In most cases, young people in Africa think white-collar jobs are the most earning. But in the real sense, it's the reverse.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
Another Sudanese has died from COVID-19 2 weeks after another Sudanese died shortly after returning from abroad. Sudanese authorities confirmed 6 new cases of the virus and have imposed a curfew from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Michael Atid reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Speaking in Arabic to reporters in Khartoum on Sunday, Sudanese Health Minister Akram Atom said the government had confirmed 6 new COVID-19 cases.
All 6 cases are coming from abroad. 5 of them are coming from the United Arab Emirates and 1 case coming from France. 5 of the cases are Sudanese nationals and 1 foreigner.
A few hours after the announcement was made of the 6 new cases, 1 patient succumbed the virus. Rabih Dahab was a Sudanese businessman in his 60s who traveled to the United Arab Emirates and arrived home on March 13. Officials say Dahab was screened at the airport but did not have any temperature and exhibited no signs of virus. He stayed with his family members upon his return to Khartoum. Atom says health authorities are holding in a mandatory quarantine 86 individuals suspected of being infected with coronavirus or have been in touch with the people infected with the virus, including Dahab's family members. Atom called on citizens to continue cooperating with the health teams and report any suspected case of COVID-19. He says the coronavirus hotline is open 24/7.
We appeal to citizens to follow all the necessary health instructions. They should avoid gatherings as much as they can and to follow all media awareness. In any suspected case, they should call through the hotline 9090221.
As cases of coronavirus increase in Sudan, authorities lengthened the curfew from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., starting it 2 hours earlier than before. Speaking in Arabic to reporters on Sunday evening, Sudanese Information Minister Faisal Mohamed Saleh said the new curfew hours will go into effect on Tuesday.
All non-essential shopping centers which sell non-food items such as clothes, gold and furniture should be closed by 4 p.m., while the curfew shall begin from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Saleh announced that Libyan authorities deported 163 illegal Sudanese migrants a few days ago. He says the deportees are being screened to determine their status.
Some of them tried to resist the issue of the quarantine, but our security organs were able to contain the situation. And now all of them are under medical screening until we know their health status.
Saleh says police authorities will deal with the deportees according to the law since they were all crossing borders illegally. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Civil society activists in Yei say not enough is being done to prevent the spread of coronavirus at military bases and cantonment sites across the country. Some soldiers stationed at government and SPLA-IO barracks say they are not aware about the COVID-19 virus. Daniel Friday-Martin reports from Yei.
Dozens of soldiers sit close to each other as they chat or playing cards or what is locally known as mungla under several mango trees. Some soldiers even shake hands, seemingly unaware to health experts' recommendations for social distancing to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Sergeant Walt Peter of the Moral Orientation Unit in SSPDF's EA Barracks says, though the government's health ministry and partners have educated the general public, soldiers have been neglected.
The military barracks here, what we wanted first is the two other social services such as the washing material, mostly the soap and the rest of other things. The unit is divided in so many. So what I'm requesting is to call the rest of the unit to be trained. So after training them and pass the information to the rest of the soldiers. This is my appeal to the organizations and to the government.
Speaking in Arabic, another SSPDF soldier, Rehan Deng, says most soldiers have no knowledge of COVID-19.
For us soldiers, we don't know what coronavirus is, and if there are people to provide us with information about this disease, I think that will be great so that we are able to share protective measures among ourselves and our family members.
Umba Peter Bosco, a Yei-based civil society activist, says despite President Salva Kiir's recent order directing organized forces to implement coronavirus prevention measures, many in the military do not know how the virus is spread.
The soldiers should be attended to, you know, by being given these masks, and they should also be given hand washing facilities and sanitizers so that when they go on mission, they are safe and they are protected, because it will be really a disaster if the soldiers are not well protected and they always come into contact with people who or unintentionally, you know, violate some of the directives that were given by the president.
Razab Mohandis, executive director for the local NGO organization Commission for Responsive Governance is urging the partners in the unity government to quickly complete the training and deployment of unified forces to decongest forces in the cantonment sites.
They remain congested in the training centers, which puts them at a very high risk should this virus reach South Sudan. And what is quite important is that their training should actually be concluded so that they are also deployed.
Lampol Gabriel, deputy military spokesman for the SPLA-IO, says his forces in cantonment sites know nothing about the disease and lack sanitizers and face masks.
But the most important one is send the medical teams on the ground to be able to sensitize our forces so that they are aware of what really the dangers of coronavirus.
Gabriel is calling on the Joint Defense Board of the National Pre-Transitional Committee and the UN's World Health Organization to prioritize educating soldiers in the barracks and cantonment sites about the virus and how to prevent its spread. SSPDF spokesman Major General Lu Rai Kwang says plans are underway to educate soldiers about the pandemic. He says the Army has created a task force to address the issue.
The task force and the process of carrying out the comprehensive creation of awareness among the forces in Juba and outside of Juba, as well as in other parts of the country. Question of arms will suffer frequently. Avoiding greeting of each other, avoiding congregating.
South Sudan has no confirmed case of the coronavirus, but all of its neighbors have confirmed cases. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yeh River County, Central Equatorial State.
As the global village struggles with the coronavirus, Zimbabwe has recorded only a relative handful of cases to date. However, on Monday, the government began a 21-day government-ordered lockdown to contain the virus. Reporter Jose Zenvashi reports from Harare.
Zimbabwe's government gradually introduced preventative measures to guard against the spread of coronavirus. As of Monday, only workers in essential services are allowed out of their homes, and the government says the army may be deployed to enforce the lockdown, which comes a few days after neighboring South Africa started its lockdown. President Emmerson Mnangagwa announced the lockdown on Friday evening.
We are worried that even as our numbers remain low, there is possibility of wider community spread and transmissions. Further, in about 2 months' time, winter will be upon us, creating conditions ideal for more infections. We thus need to take decisive measures now.
He mentioned the measures government will be taking.
Starting Monday, 30th March 2020, and subject to further review, Zimbabwe will be under a total lockdown for a period of 21 days. This means all our citizens are required to stay at home, except, of course, in respect of essential movements related to seeking health services, to the purchase and procurement of food and medicines.
There is a particular concern about the country's healthcare system. Over the past few years, Zimbabwe's economy has been battered by shortages of nearly all goods and soaring inflation. There is little foreign exchange to import drugs and medical supplies, and the public health system has been hit by a series of job actions by staff members who say inflation has eroded their pay.
To ensure that our hospitals are not overwhelmed and that other normal hospital services are not compromised, more separate treatment and isolation units and facilities will be established as designated by the Minister of Health and Child Care.
The President says government will work with universities to produce medical necessities, such as sanitizers and personal protective equipment, and to set up of isolation centers to use in the outbreak. The president has warned the government will not tolerate causing alarm on social media. He says government is coming up with legal means to deal with those it thinks have violated the rules. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinamashe from Harare.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's our show. We now leave you with the song Samira by Dis Majos.
Azande inongo kozilisinute Inaida kinangwara kotikoyo
listening to Dis Majos with the song Samira. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for listening and remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Malia Zileo, Akona Pia. Ni di na diare yo. Kamimbunga litete.